The publishing company Farrar, Straus & Giroux helped define the intellectual life of post-World War II America by bringing out the work of writers and poets like Hermann Hesse, Pablo Neruda, Tom Wolfe, Susan Sontag, and Seamus Heaney. A new book called Hot House explores the inner history of the company from its founding in 1946 to its sale to a German conglomerate in 1994 and beyond. Book critic Maureen Carrigan has a review.
In the world of book publishing, ravaged though it may be, the name Farrar, Straus & Giroux still bespeaks literary quality. It's a publishing house that boasts a roll call of 25 Nobel Prize winners and heavyweights like Susan Sontag, Carlos Fuentes, Joan Didion, Philip Roth, and Jonathan Franzen. A lot of writers, past and present, have turned down higher advances for their books from other publishing houses for the honor of being an FSG author. Hot House is the name of an exhaustively researched and sometimes gossipy history of Farrar, Straus & Giroux, written by Boris Kochka, a contributing editor at New York Magazine. In the doldrums of August, Hot House is the hot book that book people are talking about. And understandably so. It offers an unavoidably nostalgic look back at swashbuckling adventures in independent publishing, as contrasted with our own doomsday present, when, at the one extreme, greedy global conglomerates have swallowed up much of the American publishing industry, and at the other, the unruling democratic forces of the internet and self-publishing are chipping away at traditional literary culture. Oh, for the good old days when a randy despot like Roger Straus ran the show, along with his cerebral alter ego of an editorial partner, Robert Giroux. Kochka's story of the rise of FSG benefits from the lucky biographical break that the men at the helm were such Mutt and Jeff opposites. Owner Roger Straus founded the company in 1946 with John Farrar, who drops out of the history early on. Straus was the charming bad boy offspring of a wealthy German Jewish family. He favored ascots, foul language, and wheeling and dealing. It's still not clear to me, even after reading Kochka's 400-plus page book, why Straus went into publishing. He wasn't exactly the bookish type. Running the company, however, allowed him to play squire to the likes of Edmund Wilson and Joseph Brodsky and gave him access to any female employee who was up for fleeing FSG's dumpy offices for a lunchtime tryst. Straus's wife, herself an heiress to the Rheingold beer fortune, called the offices of FSG a sexual sewer. Robert Giroux was a working-class Catholic scholarship boy and a closeted gay man. He came on board the company in 1955 and shaped its platinum-plated editorial sensibility, signing up his good friend T.S. Eliot, as well as Flannery O'Connor, Robert Lowell, and Bernard Malamud. Giroux, like his hero Maxwell Perkins, was an editor who stuck with his famous writers through bad reviews and long dry spells. The most sobering of all publishing lessons, Giroux said, is that a great book is often ahead of its time, and the trick is how to keep it afloat until the times catch up with it. Hot House is jam-packed with info about the post-war New York literary world, but boy, you really have to work as a reader to extract those stories. Dare I say this book needed a stronger editor? Kochka's sentences are name-droppingly dense. Here's an example, by no means the naughtiest. In 1949, Giroux had the chance to acquire a story collection by Mary McCarthy, who was not only Edmund Wilson's ex-wife, the survivor of a marriage as abusive as the Lowells, but was now leaving Robert Linscott, the same editor Wilson had abandoned for Roger Straus. This editor's inside lunch style of writing infects Hot House with the same kind of smugness that historically has been the less attractive byproduct of Farrar, Straus & Giroux's distinction as a publishing house. part of the reason that FSG could afford to publish all those poets and intellectuals is that it made big profits off the likes of diet books, Sammy Davis Jr.'s blockbuster memoir, Yes, I Can, and the smart thrillers of Scott Turow. Those writers, figuratively and literally, didn't rate invites to Roger Strauss's Upper East Side townhouse soirees, where the likes of Leonard Bernstein, Mary McCarthy, and Jerzy Kaczynski could be glimpsed huddled in conversation. By the end of Hot House, I honestly didn't know whether to mourn the passing of the elite old guard in literature or to welcome the new barbarians at the gates.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Hot House by Boris Kochka. You can read an excerpt on our website, freshair.npr.org, where you can also download podcasts of our show. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Myers, John Sheehan, Heidi Simon, and Teresa Madden. WHYY's chief content officer is Christine Dempsey. I'm Terry Gross.